episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings, episode 56, New Belgium Spotlight. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon. We are broadcast on the Cigar Federation Network on CigarFederation.com. We are also picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks very much for all of our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners, guys and girls, wherever you're stationed in the world. We hope you guys are keeping it safe, keeping it dry, relaxed, confident, maybe lighting up a cigar or two. I'm joined, as always, with my co-host, Robbie Rass. Rob, what's going on in sunny California today, brother?
Just chilling. No, I'm excited, man. I really enjoy a lot of the things that New Belgium is doing, and this is an excuse for me to explore some of their IPAs and pale ales, which I haven't done yet. You know, normally for me, it's with New Belgium, it's the Fat Tire, which they're doing a barrel aged version of, by the way,
which could be
interesting. And over the winter, it was the, which I think we featured on the show, the Ben and Jerry's collaboration, the salted caramel brown ale. So to check out some of these IPAs and two of their newest releases, actually, the Tangerine IPA Citradelic and the Side Trip Belgian style pale ale. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. I picked up the New Belgium sampler. New Belgium's not a beer that I can get on a typical regular basis up here, but my local Kensington Wine Market, who I go for all of my spirits and imbibing tools, they happen to get a cool sampler pack in, which kind of had I don't have the fourth beer on tonight, but I have the first three, and I've kind of been cheating, sipping that Fat Tire. It's good. It's so good. A barrel-aged version of that would be outrageous, I think.
This isn't the first time you've had the Fat Tire, though.
No, I'm sure I've had it when we're hanging down in the U.S. of A., America, just Freedomville, hanging, as I like to call it, Freedomville, Fredonia. And, I make it my goal when I'm down in the United States to try as many American beers as possible, because sometimes they're just not available up here. It's just how it goes.
Yeah, I just picked up, like, literally today, which is why I posted my photo a little bit late. I picked up a six-pack of the Citradelic and the Rampant, which is the Imperial IPA, which we're both having. And I was lucky. I went down to this. I've got a couple of different liquor stores in my area that have decent craft beer selections. And I still consider New Belgium a craft beer. It's they're one of the bigger craft beers, and probably one of the, like, when you think about it, one of the original craft beers, really, in the new beer renaissance that we've been having over the last decade or so.
These are exciting times.
But yeah, no, they had six packs of each of these, and I couldn't get singles, so I picked up the six packs, and they were only $8.
Wow.
So I was pretty excited about that. And they had a few others, the Gluttony, which they do a gluten-free line, and they've got an IPA. I think it's the most recent one's an IPA. It's either an IPA or a pale ale. And I was tempted. I've got one. They actually send me a few samples to review on mixedandmash.com, which I will hear very soon. And I have a sample of that, so I have one to review. But just one to go, not one for the show. So had to pick up a few. But I'm excited. Smoking La Silla Black, basically because we did a show earlier, if you remember, with the Drew Estate KFC with the Kentucky Fire Cure Tobacco in there and IPAs.
Biggies.
Yeah, and we did that with IPAs, and that was a successful show. So this La Silla Black has some of that fire cured tobacco in it as well. I thought this might be just kind of an interesting thing to do since we're focusing on New Belgium. I tended towards the IPAs and one Belgian-style pale ale, so I'm curious to see how this goes.
I am featuring the Tabacaro from my good friend Hamlet Purides, who you probably remember, you would remember from our IPCPR show. I did an interview with him, got all excited, got all starstruck. He's just a super cool, down-to-earth guy, and I've hung out with him for many years in Cuba. Of course, his story is he came over to the United States, brought his family, which is awesome, and now he's working for Rocky. Tabacaro, I'm smoking the 5x50 Robusto, and you know the Robusto is kind of the hallmark, I think, example from a line. If you can smoke a Robusto from a particular company and you enjoy it, then you can try the other lines, and you know they'll either be better or worse. But the Robusto kind of anchors the line. They've also got a Corona, which is the 5.5x42 Robusto Grande Toro, and of course his kind of signature cigar, which is a Salamone. But you don't really see a lot of Salamones in the market. I think it's just, I mean, I was going to say it's too big, but of course nothing's too big these days.
Giggity.
Giggity.
No, the Salamone is one of those sizes for me that it can be intimidating in a way. I mean, it's a big cigar, and they tend to be more expensive. So I'll tend towards those if it's like a special edition or limited edition or something like that. And that tends to be what they are. I think that Roberto Duran did a Salamone that is that's a limited edition type, and it's not kind of a standard size like you're saying in the States.
Yeah, you got to be able to invest like 2 hours 45 plus on something like that, and that's not very easy.
I have one of those Hamlet Salamones that you gave to me a couple of years ago at IPCPR 2 years ago.
Now, that bad boy did not come out of Nicaragua. That came out of a different country.
Copy that.
Roger that. That's just how we roll.
It has not been smoked. It's waiting. It's waiting patiently.
It only gets better with age, so it's probably pretty spectacular now.
That's what they tell me. So I keep telling myself I get better with age, right?
Or something. There's some comments from the chat room here. Trip is Beard Myron. He says, holy something that we can't repeat on the Armed Forces Radio Network, but you guys know what we're talking about, that you trimmed your beard.
I like to keep it tight. I didn't trim it a lot. It's actually getting kind of shaggy up here. I do actually shave a little bit, you know, right?
Manscaping.
Just keep it tight. Yep. The wife will let me know if it needs to be trimmed. She'll say it's getting, it's not getting, what's the term that she uses? I don't know what she says, but something like that. But it's getting a little aggressive. It's getting out of hand, so it needs to be cut back. But I'm actually feeling pretty good about it. I felt like it looks pretty strong right now.
It's strong beard game for all our podcast listeners and Armed Forces Radio Network listeners.
You're missing out.
It's tight beard game. So a little bit about the Tabacaro before we get into our pairing. Features a San Andreas wrapper. I'm a huge fan of San Andreas wrappers. I mean, this is a particularly dark San Andreas wrapper. Mm-hmm. It is nice and pitch. What's cool about it, when he was talking at the show, is it's got half the binder is Brazilian Matafina, which I'm, come to love, and then some undisclosed Mexican binder. I'm not sure if it's San Andreas or just another Mexican tobacco. And it's got Nicaraguan filler. And it starts out like a heater. Like, it's just... first few puffs are just like a blast of pepper, but also a blast of sweetness, and then it kind of dies off and it just becomes nice and creamy. And I've been just sipping away, enjoying my new Belgium, living life happy as a clam.
Little info here on the La Silla Black, which as you can see, I am smoking the little guy, which I think that's actually what it's called here, is the little guy. It's a 4x48, which is an interesting size. It's spicy, little guy, right off the front. It's got a little bit of spice to it. There's some nice underlying sweetness, though. Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, the Ecuadorian Habano, it seems like every cigar that I enjoy is an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper.
That's a great wrapper.
Nicaraguan Rosado binder, Nicaraguan and Dominican Lajeros in the filler. Some Brazil Matafina in there, Brazilian Matafina. And American Dark Fire, which is that fire cured where you're getting that kind of smoky, salty flavor from. For me right now, it's kind of spicy up front and a little bit of sweetness, which I think is coming from that, even a little bit from the wrapper, but that Matafina is giving a little bit of sweetness on the finish as well. This is actually, I hate to admit it, the first time I've smoked this cigar.
Uh-oh, awkward.
I've smoked the white. And I think we did a review on the white. I know we reviewed the black. Logan, of all people, reviewed the black. So you know it was reviewed a long time ago. I'm actually really enjoying this. I've heard polarizing opinions. Either people love it or they hate it.
That is a very polarizing cigar.
It is the way that I've kind of heard about it. But I'm enjoying this kind of spice up front. The spice lingers in the tongue, lingers in the palate a little bit. But it's a little bit sweet. And that's kind of nice. I'm curious to see. It's lingering on the palate pretty long, the spice. So I'm curious to see how these pairings go. So let's jump right in. What do you think?
I'm going to talk a little bit about Brazilian Matafina, and I'm going to take us to our break because that's just how I roll in sharing our pairings.
It's your show, man.
Yeah, it's just, I'm the CEO. Look at me. I'm the CEO. I don't know. On the Brazilian Matafina, I find, and maybe I've been attending too many whiskey tastings, but I get a lot of raisin, like a nice chewy raisin and some almost stewed plum. And I think, you know, again, I a lot of that comes from whiskey, is that I've started to recognize that. So whenever I see Brazilian Matafina as a binder or a filler, I tend to gravitate towards that because I really enjoy that sweet fruity note that I get. And it's not like the sweetness you get off of the San Andreas wrapper where it's a creamy sweetness. It really is that fruity sweetness, and I dig it.
Yeah, that Matafina is it's an expensive leaf from what I understand. Usually when you see it in a cigar, it's got it's pretty pricey. I thought I just ashed into my beer, but I didn't. That would have been disastrous. I know that the collective that we did with Ezra Zion, that's got Matafina in there. I feel like it has a Matafina wrapper.
I think it might.
If memory serves.
It was also quite dark as well. And that,
yeah.
Yeah.
We should do a show featuring that, because that's a damn good cigar.
You know, we should. I'm sure I still have a couple kicking around. Give some give some love out to the Ezra Zion guys and, of course, the MFN CEO.
I mean, the thing is, that we only did one run of those, and we did that. We released that cigar 2.5 years ago. So when you go buy it, it's a 2.5-year-old cigar already.
Has it really been that long? Wow.
It's got to be. It's going on 3 years now, isn't it?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Where does the time go?
Cray cray.
Cray cray. So, of course, we're featuring beers from New Belgium. I'm going to talk a little bit about the first beer before we get into our break here. Rob already alluded to it. The Fat Tire. Such a great beer. If you like an amber ale and you don't want just like a, you know, traditional boring, not boring is not the right word, just a traditional, not exciting pub ale, this is not for you. Because it's delicious and it has layers and complexity, and it's not just, you know, a sweet amber ale and it just kind of goes away. It's really, really good. I really dig their packaging. I don't think a lot of companies get enough love for their packaging. I mean, they put some serious effort into, you know, the two-tone colors and the silver stripe in the middle. I dig it. It's cool.
Yeah, the Fat Tire, man, is that's probably the beer that really brought, well, it's right up there with, like, in Sierra Nevada, the beers that really got me thinking about beer, as opposed to just, hey, you have a Heineken, I'll have that. Not that there's anything wrong with Heineken, but, and obviously they sell a ton of that. But I think that's one of the beers that really got me focused on craft beer helped educate me a little bit about beer. So that one definitely holds a special place for me. Great beer. And I dig their packaging, too. And if you head over to their website, just newbelgium.com. And we talked about New Belgium before, so we don't really need to go into their history and stuff because we've already done that. But they've got a really cool website too, and they do a lot. They actually have some really nice sours out on the market as well. So they run the whole spectrum.
The gamut.
Indeed.
As a reminder to audience, you are tuned into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 56, New Belgium Spotlight. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon. You are listening to the broadcast on Cigar Federation, probably either on podcast or you're watching live, checking out our ugly mugs, or you're one of the great people listening, the Armed Forces Radio Network listeners all around the world, wherever you're stationed, probably not in Canada, where I am. It's quite lovely today. We're talking about New Belgium beer. First up, I got the Fat Tire. I'm going to hold it up. It's got that amber color. I don't know. It's golden amber. Not much else. I've already held up the can, but I'm gonna hold up again because it's cool. I dig it. It's got that bike. It's kind of a throwback to the origin of the company. You can check, like Rob said, you can check out their website. What I really appreciate about the website is it's a one-stop shop. I can get all the specs on the beer. They have all the stuff for the beer nerds. They have pairing recommendations. It's a really, really well-done website, and I appreciate it. The Fat Tire, 5.2% ABV, 22 IBU, so really low on the bitterness scale. They use a house ale yeast. They even have calories. Not that you want to know, but it's 160 calories. What do they use for hops, you're asking? Well, let me tell you. They use Willamette, Golden's, Nugget, and Malt. Willamette, Golden's, and Nugget. For the malts, they use Pale, C80, Munich, and Victory. We've seen a few of those crop up in previous beers. And they describe it as a toasty malt with gentle sweetness, a flash of fresh hop bitterness. The malt and hops are perfectly balanced, and they recommend pairing with cheese, stuffed banana peppers and smoked chicken, flank steak with Fat Tire hot pepper oil marinade. All sounds delicious, but instead, I'm pairing with a cigar. Rob, what are you drinking?
Let's see. And I'm looking through this through their website, and I'm drinking one of their new releases, the Side Trip, which is a Belgian-style pale ale. And again, their packaging is really... Oh, that's the wrong beer. Look at that. Nah. There we go. That's the right one. It says the right name on it and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, it's kind of got that two-tone look like yours did. This one's got a little backpack on it for when you go backpacking through the through Western Europe.
Or Colorado.
Or Colorado. Indeed. And let's see. So they actually, this is a newer release. They don't have all of that information that you just listed. Like, I don't have the, unless I'm looking in the wrong place.
You got to be looking in the wrong place because they have so much information in there.
There's definitely information, but I don't have the hops and the malts and things like that. Maybe you can take a look and see. I might be looking in the wrong spot. So it's a Belgian-style pale ale. The visual they give you, it's a deep golden honey color with a light sheen, eggshell cream foam, and lacing. I like that eggshell. But yeah, it's kind of, I mean, crystal clear and, you know, that kind of bright golden tone to it. It just looks kind of like a pale ale to me, maybe with a little bit more depth of color to it. The aroma is Belgian yeast. Definitely get that little bit of Belgian funk on there. Some fruity banana, some clove, caramel, bready malt up front. That's the bready notes are definitely there. Light kick of citrus, tropical fruits, and herbal hops. The flavor is a yeast malt sweetness, which I'm definitely getting even through the cigar. And I'm getting some definite citrus notes in there as well. It's kind of got a creamy mouthfeel to it. It almost reminds me, John, of when we were having those triple Belgians, and it's kind of got that, it's a little bit filling.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little bit yeasty, it's a little bit filling, but...
Get that mute button ready.
It's nowhere near as filling as those were. Those things were like, oh, God. No, this is, it's got nice flavor to it. The aroma has some definite citrus notes in there, and it's kind of standing up to the cigar. I don't know that that I'm enhancing either one, to be honest, but it's a fair pairing. I don't know if it's anything special. I think I'm probably doing the beer a little bit of a disservice because I'm running over it a little bit.
I'm finding that this first pairing is working much better than anticipated. I don't know if that's because I underestimated New Belgium's Amber Ale, or maybe I just didn't really think how it would pair with this particular cigar. This is going really well. They're kind of accenting each other, which is strange. So off the cigar, I get sort of a creaminess because the pepper's really fallen off now. The spiciness has really fallen off. And the toasted malt, the maltiness of the beer is really bringing out just a wonderful creaminess from the cigar. And then I get a little bit of nuttiness at the end. Go for a sip of the amber ale, and I do start to get a little bit of fresh in it. And that's maybe why I like it. I'm getting that nice malt, which I enjoy off an amber ale. And then I get a little bit of hops at the end. But it's so subtle that I'm not even registering it. I think what it's doing, it's like when we're in New Orleans and we're having IPAs when it was really hot, it almost refreshes your palate. And we've talked about that on previous shows where there's just enough of it to sort of give a little zip to my palate, and it's refreshing. I find every sip very refreshing.
Yeah, that's you're definitely drinking. That's an all-star, the Fat Tire. And it's one of those go-to beers. for me, it's the type that I'll have at an event at the house or having people over. And I like to get kind of nerdy with some of the beer that I have. But I feel like that's a good kind of gateway beer that people that don't normally get out of their comfort zone with beer, they can enjoy that. So I think it's a little bit, it's pretty versatile. This Side Trip, though, I'm digging it. It's got, it's 6% ABV. I don't know if I mentioned that. And one thing I like that they've got these enjoy by dates on their bottles. They don't put when it was bottled. Which I really, or maybe they do. No, they have an enjoy by date, and I wish more companies would put when it was bottled. But I can see where that would be a detractor.
March 2016. I better get drinking.
Yeah. This one says May 8th to be specific. I'm digging it. There's some really nice citrusy notes on the finish, and I think it's the type of beer that I'll like a lot. When I'm having it on a fresh palate, I'm not kind of jacking it up with a cigar here, but pretty good. You know, the pairing is fine. This would be a good pairing, I think, even for like a Connecticut on like a nice hot day or something. You know, you're sitting out on the patio, you know, because it's fairly light, but there's those citrusy notes. And there was a cigar that I almost smoked today that I think would be really good with this and maybe the next one, was the Laranja from
Espinosa.
From Espinosa, because it has that citrusy note in the cigar. And I think it might be kind of interesting to pair these citrusy type beers with that. And I couldn't think if we'd featured the Laranja or Laranja. I'm not sure exactly how you say it.
You know, I don't think we did, and it's kind of weird because looking back on 2015, I feel like that cigar didn't get a lot of love last year, and I don't know if that's
wildly popular.
Yeah, it was crazy popular. Like, I think if you went into B&M's across the states, you'd find it sold really well, but people just didn't talk about it. I don't know why. Like,
it got a fair amount of love. A fair amount of love. I think it was number 6, 7, or 8 in Cigar Aficionado.
Okay.
Top 25, and it wasn't the Crixus.
The Crixus.
Anyway, we can move forward. But I would like to revisit, and maybe we could do another show, and feature that particular cigar with some of the citrusy IPAs. I'd be curious to see how that goes.
So that leaves us a few cigars to try for the future. We got the Cigar Aficionado, or Cigar Aficionado. Now you've got it in my head. This is what happens in my consciousness. The Cigar Federation blend, which Charlie was schooling us in chat here. He says it's got the medio tempo.
The medio tempo is what medio I was confusing. Medio tempo, Modafina. I mean, sorry. I know they're different leaves, and they're not even really closely related at all. But I mean, they're two words. One of them starts with M. I don't know. I got mixed up. And again, it was almost 3 years ago that we blended that cigar. So anyway, Charlie, you are correct. I mean, God forbid that I challenge you on what you say is right and wrong.
Medio Tiempo, for the record, is very expensive filler tobacco.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, you don't see that used in a lot of cigars. And, of course, it's used a lot in Cuban tobacco. But I digress. A little bit about New Belgium Brewery, because I think we've talked about them in the past, but I don't think we've really talked about them in detail. They founded in 1989. They're out of Fort Collins, Colorado. So it's kind of an East Coast thing-ish. And no.
Colorado's not on the East Coast.
There you go. That's my...
Colorado's kind of right in the middle. They're in the Rocky Mountains. But they have expanded to the East Coast, to Asheville, I believe, in North Carolina.
They seem east to me because everything seems east to me.
Yeah, well, it's just like everything in Canada is right above New York or right above Seattle. There's nothing in between.
It's true, actually. It's just the prairies. They have a really cool purpose statement. I'm going to read it off because I love when companies sort of embrace like a lifestyle. They say, you know, this is kind of our statement. And it doesn't seem hokey or contrived. They say that their purpose is to manifest our love and talent by crafting our customers' favorite brands and proving business can be a force for good. It's kind of a cool statement. I like that. I like that mentality.
Yeah, that's they do a lot of different events. And they're very, like, pairing with cigars is not really their thing. I know there's some companies like Stone, for example, that list cigar pairings on their website. New Belgium, like you say, they have the bike on the front of that. They sponsor bike races, and you can actually buy a New Belgium bike. I don't know if they make them or who makes them. I've seen them. And they do all these kinds of events. They're very outdoorsy and active. So cigars don't necessarily pair too well with them from that standpoint. With what they do, but very cool company, I've had the occasion to chat with a few folks who represent the company. Very cool people, and very they're very into what they do.
As I get into the end of the first third here, I'm getting a little bit of dry hay, but it's very subtle, and I mean this is a very medium plus to almost full bodied cigar, so. It's very, very run over by all the rest of the sweetness, and I am getting a little bit of that pepper back. So I'm going to move on to my second pairing here, which is the 1554. It is a black lager, and again, really digging the artwork on this can, or, you know, same on the bottle. It's kind of a, I don't even know what that's supposed to be. It's like a Christmas scene. Anyways, it's cool. I like it. It's very eye-catching. And you can tell by the color, I mean, this is definitely, that's a black lager. And that is dark. Now, we arranged this in a particular order based on ABV, and I think that was the right way to go because I was kind of thinking before the show started, how we're going to line these up. So this is still in the low mid 5%. This is 5.6 ABV. IBUs are still low. It's only 21. They use a lager yeast. It's 198 calories, so a little bit more calorific than the first beer. What do they use for nuggets, you're asking? Well, let me tell you. They're using nugget. That's it. Just nugget.
Only nugget. Hop. Just nugget. Nugget hops?
Just nugget hops. That's it.
You said what they're using for nuggets.
Oh. Wow. Where's my head at?
Well, so they're using nuggets for nuggets.
They're using nuggets for nuggets, nugget hops, hoppy nuggets. That's it. Now, they use a lot of malts because, of course, it's a black lager. So it's got pale, Carapils, Munich, chocolate. So there's a lot of malts in there, and that makes sense for a black lager, but not a lot of hops, just the nugget.
Just the one nugget.
Just the one nugget.
Okay, so on my second pairing, and this is the beer that I'm really excited about. And I've been excited about it since I've seen that it was coming out and it's finally started to hit in my area. And it's the New Belgian, I've got funky lighting here, the Citradelic. It's a tangerine IPA. Now you'll see, John, that's a nugget right there on the front.
Is that a nugget?
And they cut it open and it's got like a tangerine inside, which is
nice.
Not really what would happen if you were to cut open a nugget. But no, a tangerine IPA. And this one has all the beer facts, dude. So get ready to geek out.
All right,
6% ABV, which, again, for me, to get a nice citrusy IPA at a 6%, is that makes Daddy a happy guy. 50 IBUs, which seems kind of low, actually, when you look at the number of nuggets they're using in this thing.
How many nuggets?
Several nuggets. They're using ale yeast, which I'm learning about yeast, and it is an integral part of the beer-making process. But confusing as hell for somebody that isn't all that scientific, like this guy. For hops, we've got that nugget. Nugget, Crystal, Centennial, Azeca, Cascade, Citra, Chinook, Galaxy, Mandarina, Bavaria, and Simcoe. That's a lot of nuggets.
That's a lot of nuggets. I love that Simcoe, though.
Well, I mean, there's a lot in there that I recognize. That Simcoe, the Chinook, the Citra, the Cascade. Centennial, the IPA that I just brewed over the weekend, was all Centennial hops. That's all that I have. And that's all that's in it. So it's a Centennial IPA, which is going to be quite interesting. malts, they use pale and caramel 120. Do you say caramel or caramel?
You know, I'm weird because I kind of go back and forth. Sometimes I'll say caramel, but sometimes, and I'm trying to think of an instance where I'd say caramel. Maybe when I'm doing a whiskey tasting, I'll say it's got some caramel character. I don't know.
I usually say caramel Canadians. Unless I'm talking about caramel corn. Like caramel corn popcorn?
Caramel corn.
That's the only time it's caramel. Otherwise, it's caramel. Or caramel, or Carmel is a very affluent area, a city in California. Fruits and spices. It is tangerine-infused orange peel. Golden. See, I say a lot. I need to stop doing that. Bright orange in color with a light sheen. Very similar to the side trip. Crystal clear. Has a little bit more of a head on it and some pretty good lacing, as you can see there. I didn't have the proper glassware, so I went with jam jars. I'm not sure why.
I'm let down this week.
Yeah, I don't have any IPA glasses. So, and we don't have room for any more glasses. So, let's see. The aroma here, it's a blend of citrus. Whoa, knock the thing out of my ear. What is happening? Well, hang on.
Awkward. While Rob situates himself, because apparently we've done so many shows, we're just going right off the rails, and we're not even drinking anything that's significant. I'll just remind our audience that you're tuned into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 56, New Belgium Spotlight. Hopefully the New Belgium guys don't think we're a bunch of clowns here. Appreciate all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners that are out there in the world keeping us safe. In all seriousness, thanks very much. We appreciate you guys being out there and doing things that we are not. We're not equipped to do. We are equipped to smoke cigars and drink spirits and beer. So we do appreciate that. And, of course, a love out to our podcast listeners. You guys, I don't know what happened in the last couple of weeks, maybe since we had Paul Asadorian from Stogie Geeks on, but our podcast is just going nuts. So thanks very much. If you guys want to drop us a line, rob@cigarfederation.com or john@cigarfederation.com. We appreciate all your feedback, even if you're telling me I look weird. I'm okay with that. So, Rob, you were saying?
Yeah, thank you for picking me up there. In my defense, it's a new headset, so I think that's why. That's not really it. I just happened to catch my watch on it.
You never go into battle with an unproven headset.
Yeah, you're right. I should have proven it. No, I've used it before. I caught it on my watch. So the aroma here, blend of citrus, some tropical fruit, and some pine. And I'm definitely getting all of that. The pine, maybe not as much, but the orange and tangerine notes, I mean, they jump out. They're not shy. I mean, they jump out. They whip you right in the face. And there's whip. Cool whip.
Cool.
See, you keep getting me sidetracked. The flavor here starts mild sweet with transitions to well-balanced bitterness, which is a very good way to put it. That tangerine hits you right up front, and you can't mistake it. It's right there. I'm smoking a cigar, and I cannot miss that citrus. I'm really excited to have this on a clean palate. I haven't yet, and I'm really, really excited for it because I think this is going to be one of my probably one of my favorite beers of the year that's going to be readily available. You're not waiting in line for it. the pairing so far is really good. The Lycia is getting a little bit more rich in its flavor profile. That spice is still there, but it's muted a lot from where it was. I'm getting more of those smoky notes, some of that salty that you expect from the fire-cured tobacco. Not as much as you get from a KFC by any means, but it's there. And there's that sweetness that carries over on the end. So it's becoming more of a rich profile with some sweetness in there. The citradelic is really, really clean on the palate. It finishes clean. And that citrus right up front really kind of cleans the palate for you. It's really, really enjoyable. And I feel like there's a lot of cigars that I could smoke with this particular beer. That, in a way, and like we've talked about this before on different shows, where it's not necessarily the flavors are complementary or it's enhancing one thing or the other. It's almost like a palate cleanser in between each puff of the cigar. So when I hit the cigar every time, I get kind of on a fresh palate. I'm really feeling those flavors, and I'm starting to pick out a few more things, some more earthiness, a little bit more richness, like I was saying. It's a really, really interesting pairing that I'm enjoying.
And I'm at the halfway point of the Tabacero, and I don't know if it's because I'm pairing now with a different beverage or just the migration, the flavor profile here that's evolving. The main draw in this, I'm getting a lot more of a nice spicy cedar. Not, you know, sometimes you can get cedar that's like a really drying cedar and it's too much cedar and you're kind of left with a little bit of a drying mouthfeel. It's not like that at all. It's a lot more nuanced. So I've gone from a cigar that started out with, you know, that huge pepper blast of spices, and now it's become a lot more elegant, a lot more subdued. Off the retrohale, it's got still a lot of nice sweetness, and there is a little bit more of a rich spiciness to it, almost like a nutmeg baking spice.
Ooh.
But what's nice about it is it's not blasting out my nose. Like if I had retrohaled like that at the start, I mean, it just burned my nose cavity. Just burned my nose cavity right out. With the black lager, which is surprising to me, is that it's very subdued. I was kind of because, I mean, you look at the number of malts, not the number of nuggets, but the number of malts that are in there. It's a lot of malts. So I was kind of anticipating something that might be really toasted or really sweet or really coffee, and it's none of those things. It's very balanced. I would almost describe this as a session black lager, where you can have one, it's satisfying, it's good, and you go for another one because you're not, you know, the ABV is not blowing you out at 5.6%. The maltiness of it is not blowing your palate. Because I find, and maybe you can speak to this, I find sometimes with lagers or even porters, if it's too malty, I have one and I'm kind of, you know, it's almost like it's coating my tongue and I can't, you know, I need to switch to something else to kind of bring my palate back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you're going with a heavier, especially a heavier lager, definitely going to have that feeling. I hate the term session.
Yeah.
When I hear that we were talking about brewing on Facebook, because I can really talk about little else. It's like, I'm like a pregnant mom right now. All I can talk about is the baby and the baby being my beer.
Don't cut your hands up, bro.
Yeah. yeah, I got the warning with I picked up some glass carboys and I got the warning. Yeah, no, it's talking about, what was I saying? Oh, session. A buddy of mine who used to be affiliated with what cigar company was that? Why can't I think of it?
That was
Soapbox and Soapbox. Dissident.
How soon we've forgotten one of our favorite companies.
Seriously, I haven't forgotten them. It's just the name was escaping me. from Dissident. No, and he makes a lot of beer, and he was saying on Super Bowl Sunday they made like 5 or 6 batches. Like, oh wow, that's aggressive. But one of them was a session IPA. He's like, I just hate the idea of a session IPA. I agree. I see that, excuse me, it's a session ale or it's described as sessionable. That to me is a turnoff.
Yeah.
I haven't had one, and I guess I'm just not a session guy. I mean, and I know we're kind of getting off topic, but I don't know, whatever. The idea of, well, I'm going to need to have 7 or 8 of these isn't really my thing.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm sitting down to have a beer, I want to taste it. And I want it to taste good. And if it's got 12% alcohol in it, that's fine. I'll just have one and I'll really enjoy it. If it's got 6, maybe I'll have 2 or 3, but that's as far as I'm going to go. I'm not a session guy.
See, I guess my interpretation of session is different. I mean, that's probably just me. I tend to look at a session as something that's easy drinking, and maybe you will have one, but maybe you'll have a second, not 7 of them. I feel like, you know, that's definitely not, that's well outside what we recommend on the show.
It's a super session.
It's a super session. I think what's nice about a session is you can have one, your palate's still good, you know, it's still fresh, you can still appreciate the second beer, whereas with, as you say, something like a 12% or something that's a super stout or an imperial stout or a super double, mega, triple imperial stout, you have almost half of one, and you're like, I'm good. Like, it's almost too much for your palate. There I go saying I'm. What I think is nice about this Block Lager is that I'm getting a lot of chocolate now at the end of the sip, but it's not like a chocolate stout where, you know, you take a sip, you get malt, you get coffee, and then you just get pa-tow. It's just coffee, chocolate all over the place, and all you can taste for like 2 minutes afterwards is chocolate. It's like you get a hint of chocolate, and it's not a thin chocolate. It's not a artificial chocolate. You just get that nice balanced note of chocolate, and then it kind of goes away, and your palate resets. And you start all over again with another sip, and I really enjoy that. I like that's a good philosophy for brewing, I think.
Yeah, the way that you describe session, I guess, is probably a little less jaded the way that I describe it.
Yeah,
I mean, a session beer for me, I guess, would be like a Coors Light, but I don't know, it's not really allowed in my house anymore. Although my wife came home with some Coors Light, and I looked at her sideways, like. You know, I mean, she got the look. Like, what do you have a 6-pack of that for?
She's trying to get those untapped badges.
No, she was making some shandies, some raspberry shandy, which was fantastic. And with something like that, you don't want to use a very good beer, so you go with Coors Light. Boom. And I find the InBev commercials to be very, very desperate, but that's just me. Moving forward, yeah, this Citradelic is legit, dude. I'm digging it. The pairing is nice. I'm getting down to about the halfway point of this little guy here. And I dig this cigar too, man. I was sleeping on this, and I'll admit it. The white was okay. The Lycia white was okay. And these came out 2013, I think. That was when Logan reviewed it. Again, I'm stunned that I look up to see who reviewed a cigar on the site, and it was Logan. But
did he like it?
He did. He did like it. He said it was kind of a Jekyll and Hyde cigar for him. Like, there were parts that he really enjoyed, parts that he didn't. I don't know.
It's kind of huge praise from Logan.
Yeah, it was actually a very long-winded review, too. Like, he broke it down. It's kind of this is before Logan got jaded, too, so it's very, very strange. But anyway, I want to say a couple of things that are in reference to the chat room here. I want to let Tripp know that Tripp has made it very, very clear that he does not read my other website, mixedandmashed.com, because he said that I need to try the Stone IPAs, and I've had some reviews of those posted up. So I don't know what you're talking about, Tripp. You need to.
Was it the Go-To IPA? Is it Stone Go-To?
They do. I think that's their session style IPA, and that's probably the one that he's telling me to taste. I've had it. I thought it was fine. So maybe that was his point. I haven't actually reviewed it, so
okay.
There's that. But maybe what he was saying is. And Tripp, I don't know why we're talking about you during the show, but I mean, Tripp's a good guy, but I don't know why we need to talk. We talk about him too much. Yep. I can feel his ego.
It's a no Tripp show. You're cut off, Tripp.
Sorry, yeah, you're done. No, I guess from a session beer standpoint, it's good. But I've had some others that are just lame. Like even like Alpine Brewing does some great IPAs. Their pure hoppiness. Oof. forget about it, man. That's legit. That is a legit, legit beer. And like $19 for a six pack, so it's not cheap. But their pure hoppiness, or no, their hoppy birthday. It's kind of cute the way they do that.
That is cool.
I like is their session IPA, and it was bunk, man. I was not feeling it at all. I had it, and my wife was like, "Ooh, this is bad." Like, I would rather just not do a session. And I'm kind of getting on my soapbox here, and got caught in my wrist, my watch again.
The nice thing about sharing our pairings is you can get up on your soapbox, and not only is it allowed, it's encouraged.
I don't know. I guess the idea of just having a session, I would rather just have one really good beer than three that are just marginal.
No, you know what? I would agree with you. And I mean, if that's someone's approach to a session is where they're having to have three beers to sort of satisfy their palate because each one is maybe a little bit thin or lacking, then yeah, that's not cool. I would rather have, as you say, one beer. And I'm like, that was fantastic, and I'm good. And I kind of feel the same way about whiskey. I mean, although I'll have three whiskeys, if I have one whiskey and it just blows me away, I'm good. I'm satisfied. I'm happy. I can move on.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's move on because, I mean, obviously neither of us are session guys. And we're getting into the Imperial IPA, which we both have. So I'm kind of excited for this last one. And I drank my whole pour of the Citradelic, so.
Which is a great segue to the question from On. On, thanks very much for asking a question, all you people in the chat room. Feel free to ask questions. We, you know, do appreciate you not just sending quips, but actually asking questions. That's right. I'm putting you on the spot. So On asks, how much of each beverage do you drink on the show? Are we talking the whole can, whole glass? How many drinks how many drinks should you pair per cigar? Do you want to take that one first?
Well, in a way, I can actually answer that because I am using these weird jelly jar glasses, and they have markers on them. And I've poured them all to about 4 ounces. Well, actually six, now that I'm looking at the others. And so I drank 6 ounces of the Citradelic, and this doesn't have it, but I'd say about 4 ounces of the Side Trip, and I'll probably do another 4 ounces of the Rembrandt. So, I don't know. It depends. I mean, when we get into the After Dark segment, that's when it gets weird. And by the end of that, usually the beers are all gone. But that's the fun part. As far as how many beverages should you pair per cigar, if you're sitting down with a cigar and you're going to a Herf and you want to bring a couple of different things, you know, it all depends. I mean, for me, if I'm going with, let's just say I'm going with like the Tabacaro that you've got, and I'm going with a Robusto, and I figure, okay, I'm going to smoke that for about an hour and a half. So what am I going to drink in an hour and a half while I'm smoking, mind you? I would probably bring a couple of bombers. That's what I'd do. For some, like with that particular cigar, maybe I'm bringing, I don't know, I always like to overdo it and bring stouts and imperial stouts and barrel-aged stouts, and I'm kind of a stout guy. But, I mean, I would probably go with a couple of bombers and see what happens, bomber being a 22-ounce bottle. But, you know, probably one bomber for a Robusto is good. Yeah. That's what I would think.
Yeah, I think, and we've talked about this on the show, although it's been a while. I think the problem with switching beverages, I mean, we do it on the show because that's what the show's all about. But the tough part about switching beverages or even switching cigars is that it's really tough for your palate to reacclimate. And, you know, what I find when I do a lot of whiskey tastings is I'll go around a whiskey sort of table. So maybe if you have seven little pours, when you go back and you re-nose and you re-taste, you're getting a whole bunch of stuff you didn't get the first time around. Part of that's because your palate sort of reacclimates, and part of that is because you just shocked your palate so much by all the different spirits and all the different flavors. And I think the same is true of beer, is that if you switch styles aggressively, it's going to be really tough to get the best out of those beers. It's definitely going to be tough to get the best out of the cigars. I typically do the same thing as you. I'll take like one bomber of whatever, whether it's an ale or a stout or whatever, and then it might take one or two whiskeys, more so for other people than me, because if I do switch from a beer to a whiskey, I stick with it. So like if I go from a beer to whiskey, then I stay on the whiskey for the Herf. How many drinks should you pair per cigar? Pair what you like. Ultimately, I think, you know, you got to keep in mind the smoking time of the cigar, and if you're going to pair a beer, you can probably get away with a shorter cigar. If you're going to pair with whiskey, That's tough because you can go through the whiskey pretty quick. That doesn't really answer your question on, but I really appreciate you asking it. Just a reminder to our audience, you are tuned into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 56, New Belgium Spotlight, heard around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network, and of course on CigarFederation.com, broadcast live on YouTube and CigarFederation.com. And all our podcast listeners out there, you guys are great downloading, listening in your cars, wherever you're listening. We know you guys are out there and you check in from time to time. We appreciate that.
Yeah, check in more often.
Yeah, send us some emails. Send us some hate mail.
Give us some feedback. You know, let us know what's going on. And okay, I'm gonna be a stand up guy here, because I was giving Tripp a hard time for, you know, not looking at my other website and reading my reviews and stuff. Because when he initially said that I need to try the Stone, what was the one that he said I had to try?
The go to.
And I misread that as the. My mind does this sometimes. I'll filter things out and read what I think I'm supposed to see.
It's called
and
marriage.
I thought he was talking about the Enjoy By series. Okay. And I've reviewed, like, I don't know, I think at least two, maybe three or four of them. And the Stone Enjoy Bys are phenomenal. But that's, and so I was getting ready to give him the business, and then I happened to look back and see, oh, crap, I misread it. So I was the jackass and not him. And yes, those are all words that we can say on the Armed Forces Radio Network. So we don't need to add those out. So Tripp, my apologies. That's twice, man. I've been wrong twice today.
Can't make it a third time and you turn into a pumpkin.
It's oddly unsettling.
So let's get our Imperial IPA on. Now, I was a little hesitant to go to an Imperial IPA, as Rob was talking about. We had a great time pairing the Kentucky Fire Cured from Drew Estate. We went with the Piggies, which is kind of a unique vitola. A lot of people hoard their Piggies because, you know, once they're gone, and it's really tough to get your hands on it. But that was a fantastic pairing show. We did IPAs kind of on a lark because it's fun to experiment, and we weren't really sure what we're going to get out of that. And it was phenomenal. That, like you were talking about, it cleans your palate. You get that nice crisp citrus. And it really accented the fire-cured tobacco. So I'm really interested to see how this particular Rampant goes up against the Sam Lucia Black.
Yeah, the just some specs on the Rampant, because I happen to have the website pulled up here. I know John will probably go into more detail. But again, the bottle art, very, very cool. The label art is really, really cool. Let's see, 8.5%. So we're jumping up a little bit. When they say it's an Imperial IPA, it's Imperial for a reason, right? 85 IBUs, they use ale yeast. It's got 230 calories, holy diet.
That's a couple calories.
For the nuggets, they are using
nuggets.
Mosaic, Calypso, and Centennial. And they
which is surprisingly few. I mean, the last one you had more hops in it.
Yeah, I feel like if I had to guess, this particular beer... And maybe they list them in order of amount that they are used, but I would say after having a couple of sips, and granted, I've had a cigar here, I think this is pretty heavy on the Centennial, because I feel like that's what I taste the most, but it's a little bit more bitter than that, and I think that's coming from the Mosaic. Calypso, I don't know much about the Calypso hop, so I can't really, and again, none of this is intelligent, but I'm giving it a shot. So, pale and black malts, like I said. Aroma is lemon citrus.
Oh, yeah.
Floral, yeah, you get that.
For days.
Floral hop aroma is definitely there. And flavoring from some nice dry hopping fresh grass. Dry hopped fresh grass and spicy pine notes. I'm not really getting a lot of that.
A little bit of pine. I am absolutely getting pine.
Yeah.
And I do find that, and maybe it's just because they've said it, but I do find that dry hopping tends to produce a much brighter hoppiness, whereas if there's no dry hopping, all the hops tend to be a little bit more imbalanced. So I was going to ask you if it's dry hop, because when I was nosing it, I mean, I'm definitely getting the pine, but it's not overpowering. Like, it's not, you know, not like sniffing a pine tree at Christmas. It's just, it stands out.
So, yeah, and it's... This is a big daddy IPA. It's not a double, but almost has kind of double IPA tendencies to it. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, big, it's bitter, and it's what you're looking for when you go to an Imperial. And there's not a lot of Imperial IPAs out there. At least I don't see that title. I see double IPA a lot more than Imperial IPA. And I could be using the terms incorrectly or using them as equals when they're really not. But, it's got a nice bitterness to it. And it's pretty clean on the finish as far as I can tell. That citrus is more so, for me anyway, and I don't know how this works for you, John, but it's more on the nose than it is on the palate for me. I'm getting a lot of that hop. I taste more pine than I smell, but that citrus is really more on the nose.
I think the pine starts out for me, like it starts out very piney. Like, I mean, very piney, like putting pine needles in your mouth. And then it evolves and I get almost a grapefruit, like a really sour grapefruit. And then I get orange rinds to finish. But then, and it always surprises me, that drops off and it becomes very creamy. And I'll tell you what, I did not think this would go well with the cigar, but it is bringing out a ton of sweetness, almost overpowering sweetness from the cigar. And I was just puffing it with the black lager and I wasn't getting any of overpowering sweetness. And now when I take a draw on the cigar, it's just like creamy sweetness. Like I said, almost overpowering sweetness from the cigar.
I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I said the finish was pretty clean on this. The bitterness lingers. That hot bitterness, that lingers on the palate a lot, which I like. I enjoy that. And it's funny, I had to, normally when we're doing the show, I try to pick up single bottles, if I can, of, you know, whatever it is that we're doing. This time I happen to have to pick up six packs of each of these, the Citradelic and the Rampant. It is Rampant, right? Rampant. I initially called it the Rampart.
I do want to say Rampart as well, but it is the Rampant.
And maybe it's because I see the crown and then I start thinking like, you know, epic fantasy where there's guys up at the ramparts shooting their arrows.
Sipping their IPAs.
Yeah, sipping their IPAs, exactly. But no, I'm excited that I picked up a six pack of these because I'm going to enjoy them. And my wife is going to enjoy them as well. Don't let Dana fool you, man. She likes a good double IPA. And she likes the hoppy bitterness that's in there. She's big on Scotch ales for some reason. That kind of came out of nowhere. But anyway, I digress. This pairing for me, the beer is actually kind of overpowering the cigar a little bit.
I'm not finding that's overpowering the cigar, but I am now finding, since you've mentioned it, the more I get into the beer, and I guess maybe it's just the faster I'm sipping it, the bitterness is lingering for sure, and that's not a good match to this cigar. The creaminess of the cigar is definitely there, but it's not enough to overpower the bitterness. And I think it's more of a factor that, you know, we're talking about ratio of sipping to smoking. I think this is a beer where I need to take a sip, two or three puffs, and then go back, versus with the Black Lager, I could do 1-to-1, or the Amber Ale, I could almost do two or three sips to one puff and be good. This is definitely an in-your-face beer. Just a quick comment from the chat room. Man Angel asks if we've ever paired barley wine with anything fire cured. He says it goes really well. That sounds very interesting to me.
That sounds like another show. We should probably do that soon before it gets too warm, because barley wines, they get right up in your area there.
Absolutely.
I'm digging this. I'm digging this pairing. And I think you're right. You make an interesting point. How much time do we have left?
A couple of minutes.
You make an interesting point about the ratio of the sip to puff ratio, if you will. And we've never really talked about it, but that's kind of a component of whatever it is that you're pairing. And I actually, while you were talking, John, I had a sip of the beer, and then I took a puff of the cigar, and then I went back, I had a sip of water, and then I had a sip of the beer, and then I had a sip of water, and I had a puff of the cigar. And if taking that little bit of water in between, and I don't know if this is a positive or a negative, but that actually enhanced the pairing a little bit for me. It's almost like when you're smoking a cigar and you finally learn to find that right pace, how long you take in between puffs.
Yep.
Finding that same pace with your pairing is important. Whether it's, you know, I'm going to have one puff of the cigar and a couple of sips of the beer or a couple of sips of the whiskey or whatever it is, or vice versa, to kind of balance out that strength. Because we talk about strength versus strength a lot. So finding that correct balance point is, I think that's kind of important. I've never really thought about it, but with certain beers like this one. I was saying that the beer was overpowering the cigar a little bit, but if I kind of step back and I focus on the cigar a little bit more, then I get more out of the pairing.
Sip to Puff Ratio trademarked on sharing our pairings. Cigar Federation, you've heard it here first. Quick note, off the band of the Tabacaro, look, if you're smoking a Tabacaro, look in the back of the band. They've got kind of a golden ticket thing going, where on the back of the band, you can win a rolling session with Hamlet. He'll actually come out to wherever you are, and he'll do a rolling session. This guy is like one of the hardest working people in the industries. We were talking about that at the IPCPR, is just working his bag off, rolling all day long. But I am not a winner this time, unfortunately. Yeah, I mean, this is a fantastic IPA. This might be like my top five IPAs I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, this is really good. I'm really, really digging this. And this is not the ideal setting or environment or weather to be enjoying it in. And I really dig this IPA. It's kind of got everything I like in an IPA, including a slightly bitter finish. It's not overpowering. It's just, it's got a little bit, little zip to it.
Yeah, it's, this is a really nice IPA. And I'm, as I'm sipping on it, I'm thinking, wow, I got a six pack of this for $8.
So inexpensive.
And when you start talking about this might be one of the best IPAs that you've had, that's, I mean, that's huge praise regardless. But when you think about, when I think about the best IPAs I've had, I think about Russian River and Pliny the Elder as a double IPA and their Blind Pig as their IPA, which I actually think I like a little bit better than Pliny.
Ballast Point.
Yeah, and those are things, but Ballast Point is actually very, it's accessible, but it's expensive.
Yep.
And Russian River, you can't really find it. And if you do find it, it's a limit of one bottle and that kind of thing. And I mean, I'm lucky that I can drive up the road and pick up a 12 pack, but not everybody can do that. I realize that I'm in a lucky position. And when I do that, it's a significant financial investment. It's not, you know, $8 for a six pack. So when you look at the availability of this beer, and we talk about this in cigars, I mean, the price point kind of falls into a very affordable price point as far as a high-end microbrew, and I don't know if we can really call them a microbrew anymore, but a craft beer Imperial IPA that's got a nice kick to it. It's got a ton of flavor. For the price that you're paying for this, I mean, I can get a six-pack of this as I can for one Pliny.
That's good value. So as we're up against the time limit here, what is your favorite pairing of the night?
Oh, the Citradelic by far.
By far?
Well, I don't know about by far, but that's my favorite. And I think I went into that knowing this was going to be my favorite. But that crisp, clean, tangerine, orange citrus note that you're getting in there was really, really nice with the cigar.
For me, that Fat Tire was hands down the winner tonight. I think it's just a really approachable amber ale. Goes really well with the cigar. I'm going to have to experiment with different things with the cigar. Maybe some rum, maybe some bourbon, who knows. But we've appreciated everyone who's tuned in on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Make sure to catch us tomorrow night. We're going to be with Alec Bradley. That'll be a fun show. And we're going to be back next week for a show I've been looking forward to for like 8 months. We're going to have Eric Hansen from Hammer and Sickle on to do Kalanok and Scotch. Things are going to get a little loose, a little crazy. It's going to be a lot of fun, so make sure to check that out. And as we always say on Sharing Our Pairings, definitely drink better, but drink less. We back.
Drink better, but drink less is like the anti-session slogan.
Yeah, anti-session.
Oh, session beers, man. Come on. I went out of my way to call out Trip when I was wrong, and I was wrong twice today. It's weird. We're probably going to have an earthquake or something because I was wrong twice. It never happens. But no, me being right twice never happens.
Oh,
that's the weird thing. No, when you're right, it's I'm a big fan of the show Friends, and I think Chandler and Joey were my favorite characters in that show.
Chandler,
and
if you don't Benong.
Watch Chandler Bong.
Chandler Bong, yeah.
Miss Chandler Bong. Yeah. If you don't watch that show, we can't be friends. But if you do, then you know we can have something to talk about. But there's one show where he says, or he was right, and he's like, "Wow, I'm right. This is what it feels like to be right. It's oddly unsettling." And that's, I mean, for me, that's exactly how it is. Like, it is kind of strange to be correct. No, these pairings were great. And I'm coming around on New Belgian a lot, really. I mean, the Fat Tire for me was kind of their only thing. But if you look at what they've been doing, and you kind of have to pay attention. They've got this other, the Ranger IPA, which I wanted to try to check out today, but I didn't get a chance.
I think that's the fourth one in my pack, and I'm really looking forward to trying that
now. Yeah, I wanted to do an all IPA show, but this side trip, they actually sent me some samples of this, and there's going to be a review coming up on mixedandmash.com very soon. And actually, I'll review all of these because I've got them all. But you look through, if you just go to their website, they've got, you can click through and check out all the different things. They've got a Belgian-style double. I love a double ale. Mm-hmm. They're a Belgian, New Belgian Abbey. I have to try that. They've got some Pilsners. But if you keep scrolling down, when you get into their Lips of Faith, they've got some really interesting stuff.
I've had the Lips of Faith at a tasting, an IPA tasting. That's a really, really good IPA.
Well, there's so many different ones. They do, it's a series. So yeah. The one that I really, really enjoy is the Le Terroir, which is, you know, right along the lines of cigar company, is that like Chinook. They have the Terroir cigar. But the Le Terroir, it's a dry hop sour ale. And if you don't like sours, this was one of the ones that really kind of brought me around because it's got it's dry hopped, which is not normal for a sour. And it, at least as far as I know, I may be wrong.
No, but not normal at all.
It has those it feels more like a beer than a sour can feel. Because I mean, some sour beers are just sour. Mm-hmm. And if you're not really into that, then you're not going to be into it. But that one is great. And I'm looking back. They've got a salted Belgian chocolate stout that I would love to try. La Folie is another one of their Lips of Faith sours. They had a Coco Mole spice chocolate porter, which was last year. And I can't believe I missed out on that because that is right up my alley. That mole flavor with the chocolate porter sounds fantastic. They've just got a lot of things that, I mean, for me, I would think of New Belgian. Sorry, I'm kind of going off here.
It's all good.
I would think of New Belgian as Fat Tire and then a few other things. They've even got an oatmeal IPA. I don't even know what that is, but I want to try it. Grilled pineapple Berliner Weiss. That sounds interesting. But anyway, they've got some seriously cool stuff. And the Ben & Jerry's Salted Caramel Brownie Brown Ale was quite tasty as well. I know we featured that on the show before. But yeah, check out New Belgian if you haven't. They've got a much deeper portfolio. Almost like when we were talking to Pete Johnson on the show last week, how he said there's so much in the Tatuaje portfolio that you overlook.
Yep.
And it might be the same thing with New Belgian. So
I think in the near future, we're going to have to get onto a funky stout show because I've been picking up some really odd stouts lately. Of course, you know my affinity for oyster stouts. I've got three different, I could literally do an oyster stout show right now. I've got four different kinds of oyster stouts, but I also tried a kelp stout from Tofino. Yeah. And I saw it and I'm like, kelp stout, that's funky, but it was good. It was kind of had a little bit of salty character to it. Definitely, you could definitely taste the kelp, but it was good. It was really tasty. Of course, there's coconut stouts. I think I have, outside of oyster stouts, I think I have three, and I can't even remember them right now because I have too much beer. Is that a thing? But I have three different, what I would classify as funky stouts, and the kelp one sort of leads that off. And it'd be interesting to try those with a funky cigar to see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm going to go. If we're going to do a funky stout show, I would have to do some shopping. Because I don't really have too many funky stouts. I have a lot of stouts, but most of them tend to be barrel-aged or that kind of thing. Nothing really funky going on. I mean, the coconut beer that I've got it's a porter. And there's some good coconut porters out there.
Yep.
I don't want to get sidetracked, but the Death by Coconut from Oscar Blues.
Mm.
That might be my favorite beer right now. I keep buying it. And luckily, my local shop that I go to, Monument Liquors, I've gotten to know the guy there, the main guy there, a little bit, and they've got it, but it's not out on the floor, so I always have to ask for it, and he'll pull out a four pack for me because it does come in four packs. And the Maui Brewing Company does a coconut porter, which is really, really good as well, and that's easier to find. You can find that at Safeway. But yeah, I think a funky, maybe just a funky beer show.
Yeah.
And you know you could pull out that that sriracha beer. Did you pair that before?
I didn't pair it. I drank it. And so what's funny about the sriracha beer is I've had sriracha popcorn, which is pretty decent. I had the sriracha beer, which you know, I hate to say it, but a lot of those beers like that are just, it's just not good. Like, it's just not good. And I'm a guy who likes to experiment and try different food and different beverages. It just wasn't good. It was too much sriracha. I mean, you could have done that well with a hint of sriracha, and it just ended up being too much sriracha for me. And
keep talking.
Yeah, yeah. We're currently, our current jaunt is, of all things, sriracha potato chips. And we've gone through two bags of sriracha potato chips because it's exactly the balance you want, where you get potato chips with a hint of sriracha instead of like death by sriracha. I don't want death by sriracha. I can go get, you know, some great Vietnamese pho with sriracha if I want to, but I want it to be subtle. I want to taste other things.
One thing my wife does, because we have sriracha in the house, obviously, she likes to, if we're doing, like, for Super Bowl, which neither of us cared about the game, but she wanted to make some snacks and stuff.
We'll be talking about the Super Bowl shortly.
She made chicken strips and encrusted them in Doritos.
Interesting.
Like regular Doritos and Cool Ranch, and then baked them. And we thought they were going to be great, but they kind of sucked. Like, you couldn't taste the Dorito at all. But she'll get ketchup, which she's not a big ketchup fan, but she'll mix some sriracha in there so it's like a spicy ketchup. It's pretty good. But I agree with you. I don't want to be crushed with sriracha. But we were talking about funky beers. So for a funky beer show, I know I've referenced this before. This Two Evil, this is a collaboration between Two Roads and Evil Twin Brewing. It's the Geyser Goze, Geyser Ghost. And it's an ale brewed with Icelandic moss, herbs, kelp, and sea salt. Now, it's fantastic. But if I read that bottle or the can and I saw it in person, I would never buy it.
Yeah.
And I've got another one here, and this was actually gifted to me from Harley Holmes, and it's from Tioga Sequoia Brewing Company. And it's cool as a cucumber pilsner. I just don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, cucumber in a beer. I mean, I'll try it because, you know, like I'm like Mikey. I'll try anything, but yeah.
They've got a lot of info on the bottle here, but it's, you know, it says, you know, drink fresh, 45 degrees. I like when companies do stuff like that. Like, let's just look at their bottle. It's kind of, they've got some interesting info on there.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Where it comes from, this bottle contains 22 fluid ounces of craft beer. I don't know. It's just kind of cool. That was sent to me as a gift. So, thank you for that. And I don't know if that's something that would, either of those would really work on a cigar pairing show. But those are a couple of the funky beers that I've got. I know you did the beard beer. I'll never do that. That's disgusting.
It's good beer.
Coming from a guy who has a beard, I wouldn't put my beard in my own beer and drink it. I wouldn't do it.
Not now, but in 2.5 years, when Rasmussen Brewing Company's up and running, you never know.
Yeah, no, it's going to be Tatuaje Brewing. Didn't you watch the show?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Jose was giving me shit about Chip Kelly being the coach of the 49ers.
So should we talk about the shit show that was the Super Bowl? Because really everything we were saying for 17 weeks came to pass with the Broncos in the Super Bowl.
Like, they're the best worst team in football. Mm-hmm. It was so, like, we're in the after dark, right?
Yep.
So fucking boring.
It was anemic. God. Absolutely anemic. Do you know one of the stats that came, sorry to cut you off, but one of the stats that came out there, the first Super Bowl in 22 years without a passing touchdown.
And there was one when Denver had the ball and they had gone 3 and out like 12 series in a row.
Yeah, they were like 3-12 or 3-10.
And then everybody's talking about Peyton Manning so good. I could have been the quarterback of that team.
I don't know how Peyton got the MVP. Did he get, he got the
no,
MVP?
No.
Okay, because I would have been pissed.
No, it was, oh, holy shit. It's the
their defensive end.
The defensive end, the guy, Von Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Von Miller was on fire.
Oh, he changed the game. And that's the one thing that I will say. If you like defensive football, and I've read things where people say, oh, these weren't two good defenses. They were two decent defenses against shitty offenses. That's not true. Those were two good defenses. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it was a low-scoring game didn't necessarily surprise me. But Denver's D-line made the offensive line of Carolina just look horrible. But, I mean, ultimately, I just didn't give a shit. And it was the most boring football game I've ever watched. And it almost feels like, yeah, you guys won, but in a way, there should be like an asterisk there. It's like, you were the Super Bowl champions, asterisk. And the asterisk should read, it was the most boring championship game ever. Ever.
Yeah, I mean, it had even the defensive plays were exciting. I like good defensive ball. Being a Jets fan, I mean, you gotta love defense. But I like defense where somebody gets an interception and then runs it back for a pick six. I mean, that's exciting. When you have like, and it felt like it was the culmination of the entire 2015 season. We talk about the Broncos being the best, worst football team in the league. That was definitely on point for the game. And the refereeing, I don't care whether you're a Broncos fan or a Panthers fan, that was some shitty-ass refereeing. There were so many calls in that game where I was looking at that, and I'm like, what in the hell are you talking about? There were, like, late hits on the quarterback, both quarterbacks that were never called. There was holding for fucking days. Like, I was watching replays, and they're talking about how great of a play it is, and I'm like, dude, that guy just got held
he's for got like a chokehold.
Seconds. Yeah, he's got a chokehold. It just seemed to me, because I don't like refereeing calling games. And people are like, well, you know, refereeing didn't really decide the game. When a ref call gives you 15 yards and a first touchdown, like, for example, when the Broncos were on the were in the red zone, and I called it. I said, you know what's going to happen here is the Broncos are going to go 3-and-out, and the fucking refs are going to give them some bullshit
PI.
Penalty, PI or an offensive holding, and they're going to reset it, give them another set of downs. And that's exactly what happened. And you know what? That's fine if it's the penalty, but it almost, to me, felt like it was a gimme ball. It was like, well, we kind of got to give it to them here. I don't want games decided on rough ball. I want games decided on proper scoring. And, it's not that the offense or the penalties are being called too much. It's just that penalties shouldn't reset your downs, and penalties shouldn't be deciding big series like that. It makes me crazy.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say about the lack of calls, and there's always that thing, oh, well, they're letting them play. The problem with that is, and that's established at the beginning of the game, and this is true of any sport, guys are going to do whatever they can get away with, right? So if I'm an offensive lineman and I do a chokehold early and it doesn't get called, I'm going to keep doing it until somebody calls it. Right. And eventually when it gets called, it's like, well, I got away with it for 45 plays, so I might as well just get called once. And I think it escalates from there. It was, and I will agree with you. And I don't like to say that, you know, the refs did this or the refs did that, because they have a hard job and all these guys have a tough job. And I feel bad. Like, honestly, I might be the only person in America who feels bad for Cam Newton, because, yeah, he went to his press conference and he didn't really give any answers. But think about it. The worst day that you've ever had at your job, like when you got fired, would you want to answer any questions? Yeah. Fuck no. You tell everybody to fuck off and just get out of my face. But that's part of his job and he has to do it. So I get why. And he's still young. I mean, what is he, 25, 26?
Yeah,
he's a kid. But I mean, I feel bad for him in the sense that he's getting a lot of shit for acting that way, and he shouldn't have acted that way, and it's not very professional, and I get that. I really do get it. And I mean, it's like what Marshawn Lynch did last year at the, well, I have to be here. So yep. That was his statement. It's like, okay, come on, dude. That's a little bit different, because that was even before the game. That wasn't even after the game. So that's different. But I mean, after the game, you lose a game, you play shitty. He didn't play well. I mean, he's overthrowing everybody. They should have won that game. They should have won that game by accident, but they didn't. And so he's got to answer these questions, and I get it. He's pissed off. And I'm wavering back and forth. I'm not really pro Cam Newton at all. Like, I didn't really care who was going to win, but I don't know. I feel bad that he's getting a lot of shit for that. It's tough, because I mean, right after, like I said, the worst day of your professional career, really. Even though you get to the Super Bowl, it's still pretty damn good. But
yeah, I didn't have a dog in that hunt at all. Besides the fact that secretly I wanted to see Peyton get a ring, because I felt like, the guy is an amazing quarterback. He should have, and so many people judge a quarterback based on
the. Was that his first Super Bowl win?
Second win. So he's tied Eli with number of wins, and people go, it drives me crazy, because it's like, yeah, Eli has two rings. That doesn't make him a better quarterback. That just means the team he was with and the coach he was with had a better game plan, and they won two Super Bowls. You can't say Eli's a better quarterback than Peyton, because that's absurd. But, you know, what makes me a little crazy is that you go back a Super Bowl, the last Super Bowl Peyton was in, and people forget, because people have, bad memories. They forget that Peyton walked off the field, didn't shake hands, didn't wish the opponent good game. Like, but that's easily forgotten. And I'm sure that the Cam stuff will be forgotten in a year's time from now. Again, I don't have a stake in the game. I'm an AFC guy. I just, so many people harped on so many things for that game. They harped on the Beyonce thing. They harped on Cam. And it's just like, you know what? It wasn't a great game. It was a bad Super Bowl. I'm glad that Peyton has a second ring. That makes me happy to see him tie Eli. It made me happy to see Eli's cranky face.
That was the best part.
That was the best. I'm so happy for you, Peyton.
That little video where he's like, and like, yeah, shaking hands with his family and stuff. It's like that's the best part of the whole thing. There's different issues at play that I don't want to get into about why Peyton is forgiven and Cam Newton never will be. But anyway, we can move forward because I don't want to get into
so
all that.
So pitchers and catchers must be reporting pretty damn quick here.
Yeah, like a week and a half. I'm so pumped, dude. The Giants are going to be good. And even if they suck this year somehow, they're still going to be good because they're my Giants. But I'm a baseball fan at heart. I always have been. And like the NFL, I could take it or leave it. You know, it's fun to watch, and I think I enjoy fantasy football more than I enjoy football.
It is a lot of fun.
And it's different when your team's good or your team sucks. Like, when I'm not a big basketball fan, but the Warriors are really good, so I'll watch them. Like, they're like, historically good. But, I mean, basketball isn't really on my radar. I was actually found myself sitting down watching some Premier League last night. Some Premier League soccer. Yeah, Man U and Chelsea, and I don't know when the game happened. Like, I played soccer for like 15 years, and I love soccer. Like the World Cup and all that stuff, and the Olympics and stuff. I get into it. I just don't know enough. And there's so many different leagues over there in Europe. I wish there was a team that I could, or even just a specific player that I could somehow connect with, so I could follow that team and watch them and get into it, because I love me some soccer.
I can't get behind soccer, but I can tell you that the most exciting soccer game football match that I ever watched, I was down in Houston for business back in the day, and it was in a they called it Mexican Hooters. I kid you not, it was Mexican Hooters because it was like a Hooters bar, but it was specifically set up for this Mexican-Spanish clientele. So, like, I was with the guy I was with is not white, so I was, like, literally the only white guy there. And they had, like, Chile versus, like, some other team, and the whole match was in Spanish, and everyone in there was cheering it on. And I got to tell you, it was phenomenal to be a part of that and see everyone like get all excited. That made the game for me, because otherwise, I wouldn't have cared at all.
Yeah, and when you're in an environment where everybody's so fired up, like when I was at school and I was living in Sacramento, again, I don't really care about the NBA, but the Kings were really good at that time, the late '90s, early 2000s. Chris Webber and Vlade, they were really, really good. Peja was just hitting all them threes. They were a good team. And the guys that I lived with, they were big basketball fans. So we would always sit and watch the Kings games, and I would just totally be into it. But, I mean, I don't know. For me, there's certain sports that you're – like you said, you were into that soccer game, but you're not seeking out soccer.
Yeah.
I'll seek out baseball. I mean, in the middle of the season, it could be July, and I'll watch the freaking Phillies against the Marlins. And those are two of the worst teams in baseball, or at least they were last year. Marlins will be better this year. But, yeah, I could watch that and find a reason to watch it. And I think I could be that way with soccer. I can't be that way with the NFL. Although, with fantasy football, I can watch the NFL Red Zone Network. And the guy who does the commentary on the Red Zone Network,
he's on point.
Dude, that guy does not get a break.
That is
for
that
like
is
the full
the
day.
Toughest announcer job in sports.
And he does a great job of kind of, it's not even really announcing, he's just kind of managing what you're going to watch. But he does a really good job. But yeah, no, I'm excited. Baseball's right around the corner. And like you said, pitchers and catchers report in like a week and a half. And my fantasy draft, like, I've only got a couple of fantasy leagues, but I've got one keeper league that's pretty serious that Dana is actually in. And she came in second last year.
Wow.
But we've got like minor league rosters, and it's pretty serious. So that's coming up. I've actually already completed a trade, but since nobody in my league watches, I can tell you guys this, because we're not supposed to do any off-season trading. Trading isn't really open until like a week and a half. And I've already completed a trade, so it's kind of exciting. Like, I actually had to, for the first time ever in Hum Baby history, Hum Baby is my team name, in Hum Baby history, I sold off before the playoffs. I didn't make the playoffs. And so I've got really good keepers this year. I've got a lot of picks early, and there's a lot of talent going back into the draft pool. I'm very excited about where my team is going this year. So nobody else cares, but I'm excited.
So we've got a ton of really cool shows coming up. Of course, you're going to be on with Logan Casey from Alec Bradley. He's going to be joining us on Thursday night, tomorrow night. It's going to be a good show. I've talked about it and talked about it. Next week, we got Eric Hansen from Kalanok. We're going to do a Scotch pairing, which is going to be – I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing you review the Kalanok 25 and read your thoughts and hear your thoughts. It's always fun. Following week, we've got Vavalo. And of course, we've done a pre-record for the February 24th sharing our pairings because I will be in country, as they say. So we had to do a pre-record, but that was a fun show. We did the Tabaca Special coffee show. So we got that queued up for the following Wednesday, and then we'll be back at it when I and the Fed heads return from demolishing all of the cigars and rum that exist in Nicaragua.
And that show, when you come back, is the one with Terrence, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Logan has those kegs in hand, so.
And I feel bad for Logan because, like, I've literally shipped him, I want to say, like, $300 worth of product that I'm taking down to Nicaragua with me. He's got hats, he's got cigars, he's got flasks, he's got hoodies, he's got shirts. And, like, I'm literally going down with a full, big-ass suitcase. And like 75% of what's in my suitcase is not coming back, and I'm going to fill it back up with all this other stuff that Logan, the Logan, my underground railway guy, he's literally going to have a box of stuff for me when I get down there.
Yeah, the fact that you live in Canada is kind of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And
give me a green card, would you?
No, and John's always like, oh, yeah, if you can't ship it to Canada, just ship it to Rob. He'll get it to me. It's like, hey, wait a second.
No, wrong. Rob's got me.
Yeah, that costs some ducats, son.
Speaking of, I'm going to have to be bringing some of them Freedom Ducats down to compensate Logan for the, I don't even know how many packages he's had to forward to me. So many ducats, Freedom Ducats.
Freedom Ducats. So are you just freezing your baguettes off or what?
No, I'm good. But go ahead.
Let's talk about the upcoming safari a little bit, because this is the last time I'm going to talk to you before. No, we have next week.
We have next week. But, after that. So what's tough for me is that I'm going into the new company I work for. I'm the general manager for a cigar franchise. We're at 9 stores. We're going to be going up to 15, possibly 20 stores by the end of 2016. So I've been working my bag off. And you know how it gets, especially when you're going down to Nicaragua. You kind of get in vacation mode, and you're like, you stop giving a fuck about anything because you're like, I just want to go into Nicaragua and relax and enjoy my people and see some cool stuff and drink and relax. And, you know, it truly is a safari. Like, it's just a pilgrimage. But the flip side of that is I'm going into probably the most important weekend, at least for the first 6 months for me, where I've got to host this big meeting in another city away from us. So I have to stay focused, and it's really hard to stay focused when I've got this safari looming just around the corner, because next week it's going to be really tough for me to get any work done at all.
So I'm going to call out a couple of guys. Doug and Jose are talking, and Stefan really are talking about the safari. You guys have to do it, man. You've got to do it. I'm not going this year, and I'm bummed. I am pretty bummed that I'm not going, but it's such an awesome trip.
Yep.
And it's worth, I mean, it's not that expensive from the standpoint of what the trip costs. I think it's like $600 to pay for the trip. I mean, obviously you have to pay for your flight after that, but it's worth it, man. I mean, I would think the average guy almost probably smokes half of that while he's there.
The average guy does. I think the average Fed head would probably smoke 3/4 of that entry price just in cigars. And that's not even factoring in the great food, lodging, transportation, the tours. And then, I mean, man, you figure in like booze. I mean, we crush some fierce number of bottles of rum and some, was it Tona? Yeah, Tona beer when we're down there.
that's
crazy.
That's the one thing I will caution you on is when you head down there, if you're a craft beer guy, you're not getting any of it.
No. And make sure to hydrate.
Yeah, and hydrate. Yeah, you're always drinking water. But They had a few bottles when we went down there last time. What did they have? I mean, it was Tripp and I crushed a bottle of, for the most part, crushed a bottle of the Johnny Walker Spice Road, which is, you can only get that at the duty free, which I actually ended up on the way home, I ended up buying one for myself. I think I still have about half of it. And we crushed a bottle of something else too that I can't remember what it was. But we went through, I mean, you can stop at duty free and pick up a bottle for like $30, or they people bring some stuff with them. It's such a fun trip, man. You really get to know these guys. And for me, it was a lot of fun because, like I said last time, this was my first trip where I knew a lot of the guys who were going. And even, I mean, last year when we filled up the trip, there were some guys who joined SIGFED just to go on the trip. And some guys who, like I think On, for I'll call out On was not really a big member of Cigar Federation before the trip. And maybe even Tripp was like that because he went last year. And they end up, you end up getting to know the folks that you're there with. You have such a great experience. You guys get to blend cigars, which is, I mean, that's the highlight of the trip. But all this other stuff that you get to do where you really get to kind of hang out with these guys that you chat with on a regular basis. And, I mean, I'm really making a plea for you guys to go. I get nothing out of this, like literally nothing out of this if you go or if you don't. But it's such an awesome trip. And this year you guys get to build those houses for Techo. That's going to be really, really cool. That's probably what I'm bummed about missing the most.
Yeah.
Is you know, building a house for somebody, which I think we're building three, which is really fucking cool, man, that we're able to do that. I mean, we sit here, we talk about booze and we talk about cigars, but to actually make a difference, and we've made a difference in the past with Project Manana, you know, helping build schools and things like that, which is great. But this, you actually get to put hammer to nail and really, you know, I mean, most of you guys are probably going to bleed a little bit. You're going to bleed to make this somebody's house. I think that's just really fucking cool that we can do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I don't do enough humanitarian stuff like that. And
you really don't.
I really don't. No. So, and if you've seen, the nice thing about the Techo is they do a presentation. They've done a presentation last year where they kind of show you before and after, like how some of these people were living. And you, as soon as you see that, I mean, it almost brings tears to your eyes because you're like, listen, you know, these people are living in places that I literally wouldn't let a family pet live because it's just so unsanitary and they've got their entire family there. So you're making a really big difference. And that's, I want to say that's a huge part of what won my girlfriend over this trip. Cause you know, I'm going to be gone for like 9-10 days, but I said, you know, a big part of that is going down there and building these houses and making a real difference in people's lives. And I know it's going to be important.
Yeah, for sure. And to kind of pull things back, I finished my Citradelic. This is legit, dude. Track this down.
All right.
If you can. If you like a citrusy IPA. Now, I've gone back to the Side Trip, which these are also, these both are very, excuse me, new releases. And now that I'm not smoking the cigar anymore, which I kind of nubbed this thing, it's done. I'm going to seek out some more of those Lucia Blacks because that's a pretty good smoke. But I'm getting a lot more of the Belgian-y business out of this Side Trip. I mean, I can smell it more now, and I can definitely taste that Belgian yeast, which we talk about, that kind of Saison funk. It's that Belgian yeast that you're really getting that funk from. And it's not delivered with the same level of strength that it is in some of those Belgian beers and like real strict Belgian beers, I should say. This is kind of a Belgian pale ale, so it's pretty nice. I think that this is something that everybody would enjoy too, if you like that a little bit of that funk, but then you also get some of that citrus and almost some IPA type feeling, some vibes from it. A little bit of hoppiness, but not too much. It's kind of a nice, almost like a hybrid.
Nice. Well, one of the exciting shows we are going to have live from Nicaragua, from Esteli, is going to be our cigar chat. I'm sure that's going to be a shit show, but it'll be a lot of fun. That'll be February 25th, a Thursday. So we'll be done building houses by then. We'll be in full Esteli mode with two cigars, probably three cigars going, and tons of rum. So that'll be a lot of fun.
That's going to be fun. Last year we did it, and it was Logan and I kind of hosting from the DE compound there. This year it'll be me hosting with you and Logan at the DE compound. So it should be fun. That episode will not make its way onto the Armed Forces Radio Network for sure. But Those episodes are a lot of fun, and I'm jealous as it is, and I'm going to be super jealous when we do that episode, and I'll be smoking one of my Safari blends from last year, which I have to admit is kind of smoking kind of nice.
Nice.
I did kind of the Fat Lancero, 43 ring gauge, because once you jump up past that 42, you can add that extra filler leaf, and I got some nice flavors out of it. So that cigar is smoking pretty well. But yeah, I'm jealous. I'm excited for you guys. You guys are going to have a fucking blast, man.
Gonna miss you, bro. So make sure to check out Bradley tomorrow night. Make sure to check back in on our Kalanok pairing next week, because that's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. Appreciate everyone who's tuned in live, and all our podcast listeners who are listening wherever you are. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure to drop us a line. Rob@CigarFederation.com, John@CigarFederation.com. Appreciate you guys tuning in.
And the podcast listeners, I'm going to cut you off. Sorry, John. you're listening on the podcast. You download us through iTunes. Give us a vote. Give us an upvote. Give us a review. We've got a 5-star rating, and I think the last time I said it was like we had 53 votes. So let me see where we are today.
And just so people know, those votes are what pushes the podcast to the top of the ranking.
Absolutely.
It's not the views. It's not the listens. It's the amount of reviews that we get.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now we've got a 5-star rating with 55. So we've got a few reviews that have come in the last, I know, John, you're trying to get out of here because you're freezing, but Michael, oh boy, Paraneto gave us a review, and then Tim C gave us a review. So we've got a few. Shooter gave us a review. Stephen Christopher, these are all 2016 reviews, so we appreciate that. But yeah, give us some feedback. We've got, of 55 reviews, we have 48 5-star, 6 4-star, and 1 2-star. I don't know who the 2-star guy was, but if he gave us some feedback, I'll look for it. But yeah, definitely give us a vote. And if you have any questions or you have a topic you want to talk about, email us, Rob@CigarFederation, John@CigarFederation. You can follow us on Instagram, @RobbieRaz, @CigarSurgeon. Same on Twitter, too, I think.
Same on Twitter. So check us out on social media.
Absolutely.
And thanks for tuning in to Sharing Our Pairings. And as we always say, drink better, but drink less.